This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't blame the Nets for saying, get out of here.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Ian, I know you've got a Nets hat there. Put it on. The Kyrie Irving era, sum it up for me.
High expectations and medium return.
Earlier on the show, Jets cornerback Sauce Gardner, host of the Dan Patrick Show, Dan Patrick, Jets wide receiver Garrett Wilson. Coming up, Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on this program. We are sitting here in Los Angeles, California, and I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. We're moving the whole operation to Phoenix, Arizona. For the next 3 days, Arizona Super Bowl, because there's Scottsdale involved and Phoenix involved and the city of Glendale, which is where the actual stadium's taking place. All that good stuff.
That whole area is on a big loop.
You know, it's one
like,
big loop.
It's like Phoenix, it Glendale, is. Scottsdale, Tempe. It's
and
like
they're all right circle. Next door to each other. If next door is about a
half hour,
it's a while.
Yeah.
But it's just so many people involved, and they're all fired up to get the Super Bowl,
it's
a great game that I have no idea what the hell's going to happen. None. I mean, it could be an Eagles. It could be any scenario.
It depends what day of the week it is on how I'm feeling about it. I mean, it's just like the Eagles have such a great team, but the Chiefs have the best player in the league. And they have an advantage in coaching. I don't know what's going to happen.
And Mahomes, you can call him the best player in the league and the most valuable player, but Hurts has been playing like the best player in the league and the most valuable player, too. They've got
They've
got both. You know,
the Eagles are so good on defense. Their offense and defensive line is so great.
They each have a Kelsey. They both were 16-3 and were the one seed.
It's awesome. I love it.
I mean, they're right there. They have
it's
the
really
same,
a great game.
They have the same everything. I honestly don't know how this is going to happen when it all kicks off. What's going to happen? I do not know.
Yeah, I put out a poll question earlier today, Rich. I did. We're 5 days out. Who you got? Just kind of taking the temperature each day. Right now, 52.7% Eagles.
Okay. Do it every day. Take the temperature.
We're just taking the temperature.
Last night was media night. This is the way it goes. It's funny that how there's a media. It used to be a media day when I first started doing Super Bowls 20 Super Bowls ago. This is my 20th. It used to be a Tuesday day event, media day. The teams would arrive on Monday, and then there'd be a media day on Tuesday. And then Wednesday is when the players would speak again. Thursday, the players would speak one last time. The coaches would speak one last time Friday. The commissioner's State of the Union address Friday. The entertainment would arrive Thursday. That's when Prince did his concert, and you know the musical acts would meet with the media. Prince, as you know, did a concert instead of meeting with the media, and that's basically the week. That's your week. Now there's a media night Monday, and the players speak every day all the way through Thursday. And man, there's nothing to talk about by the end of the week anymore. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, and the injuries, like Mahomes' ankle is a distant memory to talk about. Hurts' shoulder, I don't think anybody have any questions about. Ladarius Sneed is going to be, he's back. Sneed is back. He's through concussion protocol. Legarius, pardon me. And you also have Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been activated. He's going to be playing.
Mm-hmm. No Mecole Hardman.
He's out. So, I mean, that's your conversation.
There you go.
But media night last night, our buddy Damashek from back in the day is having his fun. He apologized to Jalen Hurts for not believing in him. Here's the exchange.
Mighty big. I wanted to tell you that I expressed some doubt that the Eagles get to the Super Bowl with you as their quarterback.
I'm not the only one.
I just wanted to say, man to man, I'm sorry.
Cool.
Cool. Man to man, I'm sorry. Now, I know he's having his fun. I think he also went around and asked people. He does every year. Is this a must-win game?
This is a must-win game. I love that.
Good one. He did that as Sirianni last night, and Sirianni's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I respect that as an individual who once upon a time sent J.B. Smoove into this event for six straight years as a bit. It's one big bit.
Ask Bill Belichick about cookies.
Cookies, like yeah. What type of cookie? He said to Bill, "I think you're a Nilla wafer guy." That's what he said. That
Bill's
was funny.
Like, no, chocolate chip.
Kind of surprised him. And the number of times that the Patriots made the Super Bowl while we were sending J.B. Smoove in, I mean, I think he got the Patriots three different times. It was in that stretch when they made three out of five. We were there.
Yeah. They went four.
Our first Super Bowl we did for the Rich Eisen show was the Malcolm Butler Super Bowl.
Correct.
Okay. And then he was there for the one in Minnesota against Philadelphia. And he was there for the one against the Rams.
In Atlanta. Wow.
He was there for all three of those.
That's awesome.
And he was in the one in Houston against Atlanta. He's in for all four.
So four out of six.
Yeah, he was running through. So we appreciate the whole concept of running a bit. But I also thought to myself, that is an interesting aspect of apologizing for a take to the person about whom the take was. So do you got one over there? Do you want to apologize for anything?
I do.
Do you have a football take that you want to apologize for? Because I've got one, too.
So before the season.
And TJ, you have one, don't you?
Yeah.
You're just making it up now because you didn't have one before.
No, I had one.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right.
So before the season, I remember watching the Seahawks and Bears preseason game.
We talked about it on the show.
We talked about it on the show. And I
prior
was like,
to it.
And I was like, my God, these are the worst two teams in the NFL. And then I did my burning questions kind of heading into the year, and I put them in kind of the rankings where I saw them. And I had the Seahawks 32nd. I didn't know how that team was going to score points.
Yep.
I didn't know how they were going to compete and stay in games. And I thought they'd be on the clock right now, number one for Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, one of those two guys. And my God, Geno Smith, you were amazing. You know, you said everybody wrote you off, and you did not write back.
Yes.
And my man, you were amazing this year. You were a Pro Bowler. You're going to win Comeback Player of the Year, deservedly so. And man to man, I apologize to you for doubting you this year because you hadn't played in like eight seasons. And you were remarkable this year. I wish I had taken you in fantasy instead of Russell Wilson. I would not have finished third to last in my league, and I'm sorry.
Wow.
Geno Smith.
That was well done. By the way, just so you're at least embraced in this moment of sharing, you said Seattle versus Chicago was essentially for the first overall pick. The Bears won that game, and you thought that cemented Seattle winning.
Yeah. 100%.
And the Bears actually have the first overall pick after starting 2-1.
Yep.
And the Seahawks had a terrific season.
Terrific season.
A terrific season.
Made the playoffs. Like,
and Geno was a Pro Bowler not because people bagged it. Like, he deserved it.
He deserved it.
He deserved to go.
He set the Seahawks passing record this year.
He's amazing.
And he's going to get paid, and he's going to be a starter now, probably for the rest of his career. Congratulations.
TJ, what's your take you'd apologize for?
Well, I don't really go too off the rails, but I tell you what, man, you were still at the draft. We had Ryan Leaf sitting in.
Yeah.
And we were reviewing the NFL draft, and I came on and I said that I hated the Eagles draft. And Ryan's like, "What? Why?" And I said, "Because it was so good. Because as a Cowboy fan, I don't ever want to see the Eagles do well." And I knew. I looked at their draft and went, "The Eagles killed it." And I put it out there. I think the Eagles are going to win the AFC East.
So what are you apologizing for?
I'm apologizing to, like, Cowboy Nation for putting it out there that the Eagles were going to be good and they were going to win because I think my words carried weight and went out into the universe. And now look at the Eagles. They're in the Super Bowl. I'm sorry for believing that the Eagles were going to be good and could possibly go to the Super Bowl because guess what? It happened.
TJ's a big speak it into existence guy about his own life and about the show life.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did it for the Eagles. And it works.
And I never one time,
and he didn't want the Eagles to be good this
year. I never
year.
One time said Dallas was going to win the Super Bowl, just in jest.
But you didn't mean it.
I admit, but I put it out there that, man, these Eagles, the draft is good. This team is hard. This is going to be a good team. They could go to the Super Bowl. And here we are. So I apologize to the Cowboys for not having the same belief in us as I had in the Philadelphia Eagles.
Say that about the Raiders next year, please.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm about to have my apology and It does involve the Raiders.
I'm with you.
I'm not only do I mean everything that I'm about to say, but I'm also trying to inoculate myself and insulate myself from every Chiefs fan I'm going to meet in Arizona for the worst take I've ever had in the history of this show. So bad, it has supplanted my take of a couple years ago that the Miami Heat should not break up their bubble runner-up team to acquire Giannis Antetokounmpo. That is truly one of the worst takes I've ever had. It has supplanted me looking at the Kansas City Chiefs and saying
it was over.
That their reign atop the AFC West was over because the Las Vegas Raiders were going to take it. And I am sorry, Chiefs Nation. You're apologizing to an entire fan base. Yeah. I am as well. I am sorry to every Kansas City Chiefs fan and every single person on the staff of the Kansas City Chiefs, certainly on the offensive side of the ball, that I thought that Tyreek Hill departing would knock them down a peg, down to a mere wild card team, down to a team that would have to actually pack a bag and play a playoff game, not name the Super Bowl, in a place other than Arrowhead. And I apologize because that was the worst take I've ever had. And I have learned my lesson, and I should not doubt Big Red and all the red wearing Chiefs fans out there.
You don't want to be called a jabroni, Rich.
I don't want to be that jabroni.
Nope.
I mean, let's just say back in the day I was holding the beer of the mayor of Cincinnati with my take. That was god awful.
Well, here's the deal.
So I'm sorry.
You doubled and tripled and quadrupled down on it when we were trying to give you outs.
Well.
And you were like, nope, Raiders.
Well, because I wanted to speak it into existence. I want to be, as you know, I don't think, even though this show traffics in the world, but we don't traffic in the world of hot taking. Other shows that we compete against do that sort of stuff. We compete against people who don't care about saying something wrong. Like, they won't stare at the ceiling in the middle of the night.
Say something on Monday, they'll forget about it on Wednesday.
They don't care. They don't care if they'll contradict their opinion within 48 hours. And they don't care when somebody like calls them out on Twitter for it. They don't care. There's is a shameless aspect to the competition we have in certain parts.
And we don't hang around those.
And parts. I don't traffic in that world. But there is still a large part of me that comes to this show every day and wants to walk away from the show with one feeling, and that's the feeling of being right. That's it. I just want to be right. And when the Raiders started 0-3 and had a chance to not be 0-3 by actually beating the Kansas City Chiefs and being up in Kansas City by multiple touchdowns in that game and had the benefit of the worst roughing the passer penalty of 2022. And that's saying a lot. When Chris Jones put Derek Carr on the ground and was called for landing on top of him, even though he could not have done that with his full body weight because he was too busy ripping the football out of Derek Carr's arms in the process of sacking him. And then using his offhand to support himself from not placing his body weight on top of Derek Carr. The Raiders even got the benefit of getting the ball back and still couldn't beat the Chiefs.
Kaput.
I am sorry. From Eisen and Einstein.
Kaput.
He was the very opposite of brilliant. So thank you, Dave Damaschek, for giving us the thought to use our platform to apologize. Man to man.
Man to man.
Cool.
All right, let's take a break. A man. With great hair.
I mean.
And
we would kill with that.
If there was such a t-shirt, I survived Urban Meyer, he would wear it. Trevor Lawrence.
We need to make that shirt.
When we come back,
Jake.
Trevor Lawrence from Duval.
Joining us next.
Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guests work is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Hey folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep, because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Do you know what's trending now? You can defer payments of a full NetSuite implementation for 6 whole months. No payments, no interest for 6 months. This, folks, is what we call a big deal. NetSuite by Oracle has never made an offer like this in its 22 years as the leading cloud financial system. 33,000 companies have already upgraded to NetSuite, gaining visibility and control over their financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. Everything they need to reduce manual processes, boost efficiency, build forecasts, and increase productivity across every department. In fact, almost 90% of finance leaders agree that NetSuite helps them reduce manual data entry time. Whether your business generates millions or hundreds of millions of dollars, take advantage of this special financing offer of no payments or interest for 6 months. Go to netsuite.com/richradio. That's netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. We've got 3 whole days coming up in Phoenix, Arizona. We are going to be at the Super Bowl experience. It is going to be a blast. They're putting the set together. We are all fired up to be there, and we couldn't be more excited to be there as part of our relationship with Roku and the Roku channel. It's going to be great. Wednesday night we're having a dinner for the crew, whole group, to celebrate our existence on the road at a Super Bowl again.
Burger King, let's go.
Definitely not.
Tattoo parlor.
Definitely not. Thursday night, I have the honors, NFL honors.
Nice.
Got that going on.
Love it.
I know what I'm doing for it. I know what I'm doing for it. I will be. I've got a role.
You got a role.
I do.
Are you presenting?
I must be butter.
Presenting.
I'm doing the same thing I do every year.
Ah, that is great.
That is great. It is wonderful. Friday night, I believe I'm going to go to the commissioner's party. Where I go and I seek out Roger and tell him how much weight he's lost. Looks great.
Yo.
Do you need some muscle for that? You good?
No, you're going to be well gone by then.
Yeah,
Are you sticking around the weekend?
No.
You guys?
We're going to be home at that point, Bill.
I already missed my son, and I'm not even gone yet.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What did he say to you this morning?
I just explained to him, Dad's got to go to work, got to get on an airplane. So he knows what that means.
And means what? That you won't be around for a few
days? I'm not going to be around for a couple days.
How does he handle that information?
Like, I'm going to miss you. And I'm like, I'm going to miss you too, buddy. Don't worry. I'll FaceTime you a couple times a
Were
day.
Were you cursing his existence just a few
yes, he was.
Days
well,
ago?
Well, I got to say.
The three majors gone
He was
now?
A real jerk last weekend, but then we went to the NASCAR race at the Coliseum, and he was so well behaved because he was so into it.
Did you tell him it was like you were taking him to Radiator Springs? Is that why he was so
he
excited?
He pretty much thought it was Cars the movie, and it was we had such a great time, and he was such a good boy. I was like, oh, you're back.
He returned.
Yeah.
Isn't that
my
wonderful?
Sweet little boy's back.
Your little boy's back. Fantastic. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying goodbye to him, huh?
Yeah.
Very
so
nice.
Anyway, I'm coming back on Friday.
Oh, very good.
Not staying for the
you're not
Ricky,
staying
Ricky Williams
for the Ricky Williams party.
I mean, apparently we're not either because I never got the invite.
But so. I sent it to you. It never showed up in your inbox.
No,
I'll get on that. But I have to administer. I have to administer the show. I'm excited to have this guy on.
Yeah, we've never talked to him.
Have we never had him?
We've never had him on the show.
Is he trying to avoid us? Maybe he's trying to avoid us because we're two bald guys and he's pitching shampoo.
We don't have nice enough hair.
Yes, we do.
You guys forgetting that I've got these luxurious locks over here?
Before Trevor Lawrence was the star quarterback of Clemson and of course the Jacksonville Jaguars and his high school team, I had a flowing hair. I mean, I was like an 80s rock star when I was on SportsCenter back in the day. But be that as it may, joining us now right here, representing Head and Shoulders, talking about that battle of the paddles that we talked about with Jared Goff yesterday, is the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Pro Bowler Trevor Lawrence. How you been, Trevor?
What's up, Rich? I'm doing great, man. Appreciate you guys for having me.
Of course. Where are you? Where have I found you? Where are you physically? Where are you right now, Trevor?
Currently, I'm in Jacksonville, Florida. Beautiful Jacksonville, Florida. So,
aren't you mandated to sit, call it Duval County or Duval, and just like
it is, you know, it is Duval. It has a lot of different names. Duval is one of them.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm here for a short time. About to head out to Arizona.
Oh,
for Super Bowl week.
And, oh, you are
do some stuff out there, so I'm excited.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I'm glad to at least have you here on the show before. Yeah, we're heading out there as well. So how'd you like the Pro Bowl? How'd you like that one, Trevor?
It was great. You know, I think guys had a great time. I know I did. It was a cool experience. Obviously, it was my first one, so I don't know
right
compared to the old format how it was. But, I mean, I had a great time. We enjoyed it. It was cool just being around all those guys that you play against and that you see week to week, and you don't really get a chance to spend much time with them. So it was cool to get to know a lot of the guys.
When was the last flag football game you played?
I don't think I've ever played a flag football game. I mean, we played 7-on-7 like in high school, but
sure,
that's like two-hand touch. That's a little different. So,
okay.
And flag has like different rules. You can bring a rusher, like unblocked. So that was pretty fun. Micah Parsons chasing you around. Unblocked was great.
Okay. Yes. That's a very interesting definition of great. All right. Well, that's fantastic. So walk me through your relationship with Doug Peterson. What was the first conversation you had with him? What did he say to you then?
We have a great relationship. It goes back from really right before he was officially hired. I got a chance just to speak to him. That was the direction that we were heading, mm-hmm. and just wanted to get on the same page. I never really met him or talked to him. I think I briefly met him actually at Clemson my freshman year when they had just won the Super Bowl in Philly, but. I mean, we didn't really talk at all because I just got there as a freshman. So, I talked to him on the phone before he was officially hired and really just had a chance to talk, a little bit of ball, a little bit of personal, a little bit of everything, and really got a good feel for his personality and the way he likes to do things. And I think that started our relationship in a really, really good way. And since then, I think just our communication has been really good, been upfront. We talk a good bit, obviously, throughout the week, game planning, all that. And then he's just a guy that's really easy to communicate with, especially being a quarterback because he's played the position. He's been in our shoes. I think that goes a long way. And then just the way he carries himself, the whole team really gets behind him. It's been really, really cool to be a part of.
Well, I know the answer to the question, but I'll ask it since you have experienced it on a day-to-day. I never have. But when you say his message or his attitude vibes well with the team, what do you got for me there? What do you got for me?
What is his?
Yeah, like, I know his vibe. He's just really chill.
Yeah.
He's cool. Like the guy. Like that's just one way to do it. He's really cool. I mean, from the ice cream the day at night before to the storytelling, but also just to the way he talks to people. He's cool. But I'm just wondering why that vibes with you or the team from your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, all those things, like you said, are true. You know, I think that's how he comes off, especially initially, and that's just who he is. He's really, and that's one thing I really like about him, is he's the same every day. And I think that's really important, especially in a leadership role. And, you know, that's something that I've tried to do throughout my career, even going back to college. Like, that's been one thing that I've just tried to be consistent, be the same person. And that's one thing that he does really well. Whether we have lost 5 games in a row or won 5 games in a row, he's the same every day. So that's something that I think is huge, especially in his position. But he also knows when to push. I think good leaders, even if they do have more of a relaxed, laid-back personality, they know when to push when they need to. They know how to get guys going. And he does both of those things really well. And I think that's something that we needed, especially through our season. There's a lot of ups and downs. I think he pushed all the right buttons. He knows how to motivate guys, all those things.
What do you say to you down 27-0? What do you say to you?
27-0?
27, I mean, yeah. When you're down 27-0 against the Chargers, yeah. I'm sitting there at home going, oh, my God. What do you say to you at that point in time?
Yeah, I mean, it started with that last drive before halftime. I mean,
right.
He just said, hey, we got to get points here. And that's where it started. That's obviously simple. You know, we went down and scored, and then we got in the locker room. His message was the same thing that really we had been telling ourselves the whole game, because we had been in not that bad of a situation, but we had been down 17 twice earlier in the season and won those games. So we really, it wasn't necessarily new for us. So that's what he said. He's like, hey, we've been here before, guys, and we're going to have to play a really good second half, but you got to do it one drive at a time. I mean, that's what I was telling the guys in the sideline. There's no 27-point plays. Like, we just got to take it one play at a time, one drive at a time, and see where we're at. You know, that's all we can control. And I think that's what guys focused on. That's why we were able to overcome it.
Do you think, I'll just put it to you point blank, Trevor Lawrence, do you think if Doug wasn't there and Urban Meyer still was, that you'd be where you are right now?
You put me on the spot here. You know, I will say I have respect for Coach Meyer, just because he, you know, he showed me a lot of respect. He brought me here, and I'm really grateful for that. So saying all that, I do think that Coach Peterson has elevated our organization to another level, and including myself. I think, you know, he's given me a lot of confidence. I really love our offensive system, the guys that he's been able to put around me, and guys on defense, and all the people that we've been able to bring in. I think he's done an awesome job, and I don't know if there's many guys that could do what he's done this past year. So I've been really impressed, and I think he's killed it. And I'm just looking forward to the future and how we just keep building this thing.
What do you think? I mean, what a huge leap you guys took. You were in that game in Kansas City. You know, I mean, that wasn't a blowout. You were in it. You had your chances, and you've also got your experiences. You got a big, huge taste of professional football playoffs, Trevor, and you balled out. So and your teammates as well, that you did get. I mean, a great offseason of additions along with Doug Peterson. What do you think? Next year, do you think you can be in this game? Next year?
Yeah, I mean, you hate to say this early, but definitely.
Sure.
You look at what we did this year, and that was with a slow start and still building chemistry and a lot of things that we were still working on. And then the way we finished the season, I think that's the mindset of how we're going to start next year, and that's the goal. So I think we have the talent, we have the experience, we have all the pieces and things that we need. Obviously, we've got to see how free agency goes, and hoping we get a bunch of those guys back. But I think we got what we need. We just got to go do it. So it's going to be, you know, off season's important, and the season is long, and we got to just take it one week at a time. But we definitely have what we need to be in this game. And I think, like you said, we had our shots, and that's the thing a lot of people don't think. You know, a lot of people just thought we were happy to be there, and that maybe we shouldn't have been there, but we really had our shots to win that game in Kansas City. And at the end of the day, we just made a few too many mistakes, and they capitalized on all their plays and didn't make a lot of mistakes. So that's what good and great teams do, and that's where we're headed, and I think we're close.
And in terms of your Trevor Lawrence being able to perform despite distractions, where do you rank amongst all the distractions you've been able to overcome? Jackson DeVille in a thong and no pants. Where do we rank Where do we rank that?
Trevor. Yeah, that's a positive distraction.
Is it?
It's funny. We had our O-line coach, yeah. Phil. He's great. You know, he has a little like slideshow PowerPoint thing he does every week, and that picture of Jacksonville made it up on our internal presentation a handful of times. So
handful. I mean, that's one way to put it.
He was good for us. It was a good distraction.
I mean, the first time you saw that, were you just, looking at your tablet, coming off the field, maybe after a score, you look up and you see something you can't unsee?
Yeah,
Trevor, is that the way it works?
I think I saw it at some point during the game. Maybe it was after that touchdown to Jamichael, because I think Jamichael was down there dancing with him in the end zone, which is a funny, funny picture. That was the exact picture we had for our presentation, actually. So,
man, I had Tony Khan here, and I'm like, who is the person who said yes to taking the pants off? He had no answer, and he's way up the flow chart there in Jacksonville, so I don't know.
Some things you can get away with in Jacksonville, and that's one of them. That's pretty cool.
That is one of them. Trevor Lawrence here on the Rich Eisen Show. I mean, what a perfect pairing, you and Head and Shoulders. I could not imagine. I mean, it's one of those when I'm like, when I get to work, I'm like, okay, what are my guests talking about? What are we pitching? And I make sure they get their sponsorship out there. I'm like, he's got to be Head and Shoulders. Sure enough, boom, there you are. This is a match made in heaven, right? This product in your hair, Trevor?
Yeah.
Right?
I guess it is. I mean, people have been asking me that question for a long time. When I'm going to do anything with like a hair product or shampoo, and well, here it is, playing a ping pong match representing Head and Shoulders. So I'm excited.
Okay, very good. And how good are you at ping pong? Because Jared Goff basically said he's going to win it. That's what he said to me yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard he's been talking a lot.
Yes,
so I'm excited to. Excited to play. I'm sure, you know, around the league, guys have tables in the locker room, and it's a pretty common thing. So, you know, I'm excited. We've played a good bit this season, so I've been training for this moment. I didn't know it was going to come until a few weeks ago, so I'm glad I got the opportunity. And I'll be representing Head and Shoulders, and that's the plan. We're gonna go take this thing.
Okay. You know, and I, pardon me for asking this question, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's been a while for me. I mean, how long have you had your hair this long? I mean, like, I forget what it's like to use a brush. I mean, what do you have to do every day, man, with this hair of yours?
Well, I honestly don't brush it. I might brush it once a week, maybe.
What are you talking about?
Now
you're just showing off. Now you're just spiking the football on me. Now you're showing off and you're spiking the football on me. What do you mean? You don't
just,
what?
Just pouring salt in the wound a little bit.
Yeah, you just wake up and that's what it looked. Get out of here. Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, I shower and shampoo it. Sometimes I got to if it gets messed up, but no, I don't really, honestly don't really brush it, so.
All right. Very good, Trevor. I'm stunned. I don't even know how to ask a follow-up question.
You're not going to cut it anytime soon,
yeah,
are you?
Are you going to cut it? What do you think?
That's not the plan. I mean,
Well, what does the missus say?
I like my hair. It's taken a long time to get here. I had to go through some pretty bad awkward phases in high school to grow it out. So I put the work in, and that's actually Head and Shoulders slogan, never not working.
Look at you.
You know, I think it fits what I've had to do for my hair. So I do want to keep it. I'm not as attached to it as Marissa is. She does not really like how I look without the long hair. With the short hair, there's some pictures of me in eighth grade that I'm sure you guys can dig up.
My pictures in eighth grade are
until we have to, until I start balding, which is hopefully a few years away. So I'm going to ride it out for a while.
If you ever get in that world, Trevor, you call me. Okay, I'll give you tips how to make it look beautiful.
I will. I'll do that.
I'm there for you. Just like you've been here for me for this conversation. I'm there for you if the missus likes this. By the way, my eighth grade pictures, I mean, it's not pretty just in general. So good for you. At least you can show them to your wife. Hey, man, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Let's do this more often. I look to have you on the show all the time. So let's do this a little bit more often when you're not pitching a product and you're just out here to talk. I'd love to have you back.
For sure. That sounds good, Rich. Big fan of yours. Appreciate you, man.
Right back at you, Trevor. Thanks again. Congrats on a huge season.
You guys have a good one.
You got it. There is Trevor Lawrence, everybody. That's a Pro Bowler. And as you can see, a professional. And baby's all grown up. He just drops in the Head and Shoulders slogan in conversation like that. That's
like dropping a dime to Christian Kirk. Like, come on.
That's what it is. Yeah. That's what it is.
Man, he hasn't cut his hair since eighth grade.
Oh, and they get Calvin Ridley next year.
That's right. By the way.
Ooh. Jack's going to be a problem.
Wow.
It'll be a problem.
How can I?
I mean, they're already a problem.
Just take the thong off. I mean, it's all.
Wow. Just whole Monty.
Just let it.
It's pretty damn close.
Blowing the breeze? Is that what you're saying?
Love that he said that they put it up on the screen a handful of times. Once is enough for a handful. Thank you. All right.
Wow.
Take a break. And we got Sean Payton saying something about Russell Wilson.
And we got to go to the airport.
Very important. We got a checklist.
Check-in is in like 45 minutes.
We've got a checklist. We have a checklist, and we got to get this done.
Like boarding starts soon.
All right. Very good. We got to. And
are we going to have time for snacks?
No.
No, we're not. We're no what? Snacks.
You better get your Haribo now.
I might have one in my pocket.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
You can listen to Super Bowl 57 in the NFL app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. If it's the NFL, it's on Westwood One. One of our Friday guests in Arizona for the Arizona Super Bowl, Sean Payton, the new head coach of the Denver Broncos, introduced as such yesterday. And, you know, I can't wait to see Sean so I can ask him if he does, in fact, own Walmart, if he is, in fact, it's now called Sean Mart, as we've put together. And, you know, we played a soundbite yesterday of him saying that Russell Wilson's just like everybody else. I want to get to know what they can do best, and we'll make sure that what we do is only best for them. And pretty much, you know, we've heard it before, and this is not Sean Payton's first rodeo, as we know. And the soundbite, though, that caught much of the Twitterverse and NFL observers the most was this exchange between a reporter and Sean Payton talking about the personal coach that Russell Wilson had in Denver last year. As you all know, there's much made about what Russ had there that is, one would say, unique. And different than other players, like an office there. Remember A-Rod once had an office in Texas? I think the Rangers gave him an office.
For $252 million.
Because he wanted to take meetings there, yeah. You know, when he's at the facility, when he needs to take meetings. As if everybody else's conference room, A-Rod couldn't, you know, secure it. Couldn't get on the list there. I need the conference room. At any rate, this was the exchange that really caught a lot of people.
Russell Wilson had a personal coach, Jake Heaps, in the building with access who wasn't on the staff.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with that.
How do you feel about players having their own people off the staff in the building access to players?
Yeah, that's foreign to me. That's not going to take place here. I mean, I'm unfamiliar with it, but our staff will be here, our players will be here, and that'll be it.
Now then, my buddy Jim Trotter, who works for the NFL Media Group, friend of the program, I'd like to say, and friend of NFL Network, colleague of mine. He tweeted out that it's interesting that Sean said he was not familiar with it when, according to his reporting, every coach candidate was asked about it by the Broncos. So,
whoa.
I think Sean was definitely familiar with it, but this is the way coaches roll. Like, I don't know much about it, you know. I'm going to make too much about it, but I will also offer my opinion on it in a very casual way and move on in the scrum. Like, that's what I think Sean was doing, because, again, it is not his first rodeo. And he knows this is a hot-button subject that we're all in the media going to hang our hat on. But this is why, if you're the Denver Broncos, you go out and you get this guy and you pay him what is required to acquire his services. Because if the personal coach and all the other stuff was indeed a problem, as we're all from the outside looking in, assume that it was, whole idea of Russ needs fixing. We were joking how he, about once upon a time, the question was, can he cook? Why wasn't he cooking? Can he be allowed to cook? Now we've gone from cooking to fixings. He needs to be fixed, not just on the field, with the way that his play was so substandard and subpar, certainly for him and the standard that he set in his first several years in this league with Seattle. If he needs fixing off the field, all the other trappings that he was allowed by Denver and the first-year head coach last year, if you think that needs to be fixed, well, guess what? Sean Payton is the fixer coming in, because he can say this. Oh, yeah, I'm not familiar with it, but, yeah, I mean, if that's what was going on, that's not – it's not going to happen here. We'll have our staff, and that'll be it. And I'll just move on to the next question in the scrum and leave it at that. And all I will say is, for those out there who are saying, well, why would he say that? That's very antagonistic to the most important player that he needs to reach. And if it is antagonistic, guess what? The clock has struck midnight, and the fixer's in town. And if Russ has a problem with this, I will say, offering my two unsolicited cents here, then I don't think this is fixable. Because he should think to himself, I want to go to the Hall of Fame. I want to follow up what happened in Seattle with a more successful run. A la, say, Andy Reid right now in Kansas City. A la Brady in Tampa, not more successful than what he had in New England, but as successful for the first year he was there as he was in New England, because you can't get any higher than winning the Super Bowl in a season. Proving that I'm going somewhere else and I'm just as good. I'm the same old Russ. He should look at Sean Payton and say, whatever you did for Drew Brees, I'm in. You think my coach has got to go? I'm calling my coach up and saying, guess what? I'll see you at home. I'll buy, I've got all this cash. Let's build an office. Didn't Brady have Alex Guerrero across the street for a while?
Yep.
Okay.
Sure did.
So Brady did that for his own guy across the street. Belichick didn't want him in the building from what we hear. Brady did it. He can do it too. Go across the street. Have him across the street. Have him down the road. Whatever you want to do. But this is Sean Payton's building, and he's setting the rules. And whatever he did for Drew Brees, said, I want to do this for me. Drew might have had problems seeing over the offensive line because of a certain, because he had, you know, he wasn't 6 feet, wasn't 6 foot four, 6 foot three. Do that same thing for me. Whatever you did for Brees, do for me. And guess what? You go to Hall of Fame. So, why should he have a problem with what Sean Payton had to say? And Sean Payton is like, yeah, that was Nathaniel Hackett. I'm Sean Payton. I got a ring. Okay? I got a ring, and I had the Walmart family giving me half their stores because I can come here and say this sort of stuff and fix it. So I heard that. I'm like, okay. Hopefully Russ takes it that way, because if he's just like going to push back on that, guess what? It's just, I don't think he'll do that. I think he is definitely wise enough and savvy enough to know, I've got a guy coming in here. It's not somebody in his first year that I have to, I get everything that I want anymore. And he should sit there and say, I had it the way I all wanted it last year, and then turn to a big flaming bag of poop. Let me try it Sean's way. Because that's proven to win. My two cents on that. Now then, most important question I'm asking everyone in this room, because we have a flight to Arizona that is truly taken off in about an hour and 10 minutes from now. Well, the doors are going to shut on the plane an hour and 10 minutes from now. And everyone's wondering, we are just down the street from LAX. We can be there in five minutes.
We're very close.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Crucial.
Crucial.
Everybody has a carry-on, right? Nobody's checking a bag, right? We did that.
Right.
Correct?
Correct.
TJ? Correct?
Correct.
Correct? Mike Hoskins, take Brockman's camera if I'm correct. You don't know. Okay, very good. He just took Brockman's camera. Sean Mitchell, he's coming.
He's already here.
I know he's already here, but he doesn't have a check bag, right?
Well, his bag's like right over there.
And it looks like you can stow it.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're not waiting.
We don't have time to wait.
And it's also on the other side. We got to get right to Super Bowl experience and start rehearsing. I'm not waiting for anybody's bags. I wait for no man's bags.
You don't wait for elevators. You don't wait for bags. You don't wait for none of that.
The elderly.
And women.
And children.
Well, you didn't mention children before, but I'm assuming.
If you're a guy and you're coming late and the elevator doors are about to close, I'm not hitting the open button. Certainly if I'm on floor, if I got to get to floor 10 or above.
What if it's someone
I don't need you getting on my elevator saying, I'm getting here. You can come on and hit floor 9. And I got to wait.
What if it's someone you recognize that you want to like chop it up with?
Get out of here with that noise.
Will you then hold the door open? Like it's somebody you recognize.
I am fully admitting. All right? So I'm not just anybody.
There are caveats, right?
I'll do the Larry David, like, oh, I'm reaching. I just missed the button. I'm sorry, the door's closed. My bad.
You know when I do that a lot, sometimes they have the arrows going in and out, so it doesn't say
you
door
hit the
open.
Wrong one?
Like 40% of the time hit the wrong
confusing.
One.
Yes, it's confusing.
And 30% of that time it's on purpose.
Confusing. I'm so confused by it sometimes, so don't blame me.
Guys, Aaron Rodgers is going on a darkness retreat soon. So,
what does that mean?
Hello, darkness.
4 days darkness in a little house by himself, he said.
Like Charlie Murphy
otherwise,
darkness?
You know what he's preparing for?
Darkness.
His time with the Jets.
Hey-o.
By the way, I'm in a 53-year darkness.
And then he added,
stint.
The idea that I wouldn't want to share stage with Tom and JJ is ridiculous. That's already going to be an incredible Hall of Fame class. Their decisions don't impact
my own. Makes sense.
There you go.
A darkness tour.
Hello, darkness.
He's going to do the darkness retreat, and then he's going to make a decision on whether.
I have been on a 53-year darkness tour with the Jets. On occasion, a crack of light will pop in, and I'll be like, you know, what's that? You know, I'll be like.
Sanchez?
No, I'll be Pennington? Like. I'll be like, a Schmeagel from the Lord of the Rings. What's that like?
Precious.
That's the ring, but.
What is that? No, I don't know what that is. Is that a trip to the AFC Championship game that's through the window? That's the way I'll be. So he's preparing.
He's preparing.
For his time with the Jets.
Or the Raiders or the Packers.
No.
Nothing?
The Raiders have been in the Super Bowl, bud. In my lifetime. Multiple times. They've won it. So I feel you, Aaron. You know, without the ayahuasca. We're going to the Super Bowl. We'll chat from Arizona next.